Welcome in. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, live at Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas. We'll talk NFL Draft. Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, coming up in about 5 minutes. Quickly, I wanted to get to this. The rule changes yesterday that we found out about in college football and the NFL. In college football, they have approved the change for overtime. Going for two is now required in double overtime instead of triple overtime. I like it. I think it's a good start. I thought it was a circus what they did for many, many years. And then the NFL, they're trying to adjust the onside kick as well, where the players on the receiving team, they can't have like all 11 players within 25 yards of the onside kick on that side of the field, evidently. They want to make it a little bit bigger. I don't even know if it's going to... We had three onside kick recoveries last year, so maybe we go from three to five or six, and that's pretty much it.
Yep, okay. And the other almost a bad beat today. I set my alarm on for mistake at 1:48 p.m.
Oh, p.m.?
I woke up at 2:15. Almost had our first incident after 4 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you've been late before.
Well, and it worked out for $5,000.
Yeah.
Kicked me out of the studio. Sure, you got it. Here it is. Michael, this is great because there was a vicious takedown of Trey Lance up by a couple NFL people. Nesson, Sean McGuire wrote the article saying the game he played was atrocious and also questioning the competition and the opponents he's gone against. Lombardi line yesterday with Patrick Maher on what the 49ers are thinking at three.
Let me ask you, who has been saying that for weeks, that the Washington football team are obsessed with the North Dakota State quarterback? Is it you?
It doesn't really. Yeah, I mean, look, everybody, whenever you give out something, there's, unless you work for the Worldwide Leader or NFL Network, you don't get quoted on it. You know, just they just steal it from you. So it's fine. That's life in the big city. However, you know, I do think Washington does like Justin Fields, too. I think they like both quarterbacks, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I have said this all along. I think the 49ers are Kyle Shanahan locked on Mac Jones. I think the organization's trying to talk him into Trey Lance. We'll see how that goes. If I were a betting man, I would bet Mac Jones. But I would also, since this is a sport to make money, I would also offset my bet and bet some on Trey Lance just to protect yourself.
6-1, you see it there, Michael, on your screen. 6-1, the team to draft Trey Lance being Washington. Now, his draft position right now, currently BetMGM is set at 6.5. You like that number?
Trey Lance, 6.5. Let's think here.
So the Detroit Lions are 7, just to give you a benchmark.
Right. All right. Over 6.5. You know, we know this. 4 and 5 are not going to draft a quarterback. The question you have to answer is if 4 trades out. 5 won't trade. So 4, could 4 trade out? Would Miami trade out? See, I don't know if there's these people are going to really run up there to go get the quarterback. You know, I don't think so.
So there you see it. 4 Atlanta Falcons, who we've been discussing.
So that's interesting. He doesn't think Atlanta would go quarterback at 4. But the big takeaway there is that it's Shanahan wants Jones. The organization's pushing for Lance.
Right.
And Lance is 6.5, but also... You're getting, plus 350. Would he go number 3 at several spots?
Sure. I can't have that happen.
This is juicy now.
I have Mac Jones at 2-1 or better, and Justin Fields at plus 250. I thought I had this whole draft
worked out. I know.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, NFL Draft. Who does he think is going 3rd overall? Coming up next.
VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
PGA Tour Zurich Classic of New Orleans, 82-man teams competing. In the first round, it was best ball. And the first round leaders, Victor Hovland and Chris Ventura, Bryce Garnett and Scott Stevens, all at 10 under par. Hovland and Ventura's odds have shortened from 33-1 to 11-1 to win the event. Garnett and Stallings' odds are 25-1. The NBA today, the Oklahoma City Thunder have dropped 12 straight. They're a 9-point underdog at home against the Washington Wizards, who have won 6 straight games, 229.5 the total at the Chesapeake Energy Arena. Don't miss VSiN's coverage of the NFL Draft. We'll have full coverage at VSiN.com and daily best bet email updates, 24/7 video access. Plus, we'll be live all night during round 1 with Brent Musburger, Michael Lombardi, Gil Alexander, Mike Pritchard, and all of our VSiN football experts. Start your free trial now at VSiN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Sennett.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
it's time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Live today from the OddsTrader.com studio here at Circa Resort and Casino, OddsTrader.com. Download the free OddsTrader app right now. Start winning with up-to-the-second info that you need. Mitch Moss, Polly Howard here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, live in downtown Las Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. And Sam Monson does a hell of a job covering the NFL and the draft for Pro Football Focus. And he's kind enough to join us here this morning for a couple of minutes. Sam, good morning. How are you today?
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Doing well. You kind of wish it was we could hit the fast forward button and it would be next Friday. So we're recapping the draft rather than speculating what's going to happen.
Yeah, we've hit that time, I think, where everybody just wants to get here already. And we still got like another week of this almost.
So where are you at with number three? Like, who do you think it's going to be for the 49ers? And how do you, like, doing this as much as you do and as often, you know, on an annual basis with the draft as well, how do you determine what you're going to decipher in terms of news, information, who to trust, if this can be, you know, taken for, if it's real, if it's fake, if it's smokescreen, all of that stuff?
Well, in particular, when it comes to Kyle Shanahan, it's almost all made up. Like, Kyle Shanahan is notorious for keeping this absurdly close to his chest. Like, the leaks of, it's Mac Jones, it's Trey Lance, it's Justin Fields. They're not coming from that building, or at least not from anybody that actually knows what they're doing, because Kyle Shanahan isn't telling anybody. So to me, Justin Fields has always made the most sense. He's the best. They're stylistically three very different quarterbacks, and I think each one would make a very clear statement about what Kyle Shanahan values in a quarterback. Obviously, nothing more so than because he's traded essentially three first-round picks to get this guy. But I think Fields represents the best compromise or the best total package of all of them. He's got the arguably the best accuracy of all of them. He's got a rushing threat that might not be where Lance is, but it's certainly closer to Lance than it is Mac Jones. And I think you can put a lot of the perceived negatives on Justin Fields' play down to that offense at Ohio State. And I think his ceiling is significantly higher than he's shown already as well. And you don't have to go back very far. You know, 12 months ago, people were saying, well, yeah, Trevor Lawrence is the number one overall pick, but, you know, don't be surprised if Justin Fields becomes that guy, if this is actually the Justin Fields sweepstakes in a year's time. And it didn't. And really, Fields didn't do an awful lot for that not to happen. Like, he had one not great game against Northwestern, but he kind of offset that by an insanely amazing game against Clemson in the college football playoffs. So I'm not quite sure why everybody's gotten as down on Justin Fields as they seem to this whole process. And I think within Kyle Shanahan's offense, which is a cheat code for any quarterback, he would look phenomenal.
I think that's well said.
Yeah.
Let me run this by you. Here at Circus, Sam, where we do the show every single day, they put up a draft prop. Which quarterback is going to get drafted first? Jones is even money. Fields is plus 210. Lance is plus 278. How would you approach that prop?
Yeah, I mean, I still think that Fields is the guy. I get why Mac Jones is receiving a lot of love. And I think some people don't, because you look at his tape and it's not all inspiring. But I think he's a quarterback where you need to look a little bit deeper and a little bit longer and a little bit harder to see what his great traits are. And I think part of his negativity is, compared to these other guys, he just doesn't immediately wow. You know, like, he's being compared straight away to Trevor Lawrence, who's been like the number one overall pick since he stepped on a football field in college. Zach Wilson, who came out of nowhere this year, has an incredible arm, you know, highlight reel Mahomesian type throws everywhere. And then the two phenomenal athletes in Justin Fields and Trey Lance, both of whom have huge arms and great ability to run the ball, whether it's scrambling or designed runs. And then you've got Mac Jones, who has that, you know, dad bod picture, that the Tom Brady picture that's going to kind of haunt him. And it doesn't look as good. By comparison, he looks worse. But this is a guy that ran like a 4.6 8.40. He isn't the catastrophic athlete that people are making him out to be. It's just that by comparison, that's where you start off from. And then when you start to dive into his tape, you do start to see this incredibly elite processing and speed of being able to read the game and deliver the ball to the right place. And I think you can definitely make an argument that within Kyle Shanahan's offense, it already helps a quarterback out and schemes him up easy throws. Mac Jones would be the guy that operates that to the highest, most efficient level, certainly very quickly. But is that worth the three first round picks? And is the ceiling high enough for you to have, you know, gone after that guy so aggressively? My gut says no, but I can certainly see a way that they think it is.
Follow the money, Paulie and Mitch Vesa, the Sports Betting Network. Sam Monson, our guest. Great article up at Pro Football Focus. The biggest decisions that will shape day one. What does Atlanta do? Is it quarterback? Is it Pitts? Or do they trade it?
Because of the way they restructured Matt Ryan's contract, I just don't see them spending number four overall on a quarterback. I think they're tied to Matt Ryan for a few years. And if at that point, I know Green Bay did it last year, but generally you just don't draft a quarterback who's going to sit for that long, that high in the draft. So I think they're going to go somewhere else. I think they would love to trade down, which is where all these reports are coming from. You know, the Falcons are open to trading number four overall. I think the only reason you're hearing that is because they're trying and they're not getting callers, or at least not getting the kind of offers that they want, because I don't think anybody that needs a quarterback needs to get as high as number four. I think if you need a quarterback, if you're the Denver Broncos or the New England Patriots, and if the quarterback goes 1, 2, 3, and you want to get one of the next guys, the highest you need to get to, I think, is 6. And that's assuming the Lions are a threat. If the Lions aren't a threat, you might not need to get to as high as, you know, 7 or 8 and just jump Denver. So I can't see Atlanta being able to drum up business for that number four overall pick. They desperately need defense, but I don't think they're going to find defenders that they think are worthy of the number four overall pick. So I think that they're going to end up picking Kyle Pitts on the basis of we're stuck with this pick and he's the best option we have.
Okay. Okay. How about Denver and New England? Do they go quarterback? Can New England move up? Although I don't think a quarterback falls to them at 15. Or what do you think those two teams do?
I think Denver is the more desperate of the two teams. I think Denver has to come out of this draft with a quarterback, and they're the team that to me is going to be trying to trade up the second the quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3. Probably not to Atlanta, like I just said, but, you know, on the phone to Miami and seeing if they'll move back down again, whatever it is. I think Denver are going to go targeting whichever of Mac Jones or Trey Lance that they like the most for their offense and try and execute a trade up for them. If Denver do that, if they secure a quarterback, I could see the last guy falling a reasonable way and maybe all the way to New England, though I suspect they would probably, you know, jump up a couple of spots just to head off a team like Chicago or Washington trying to jump ahead of them if a guy did slide. But if, you know, whether it's Mac Jones or Trey Lance, I could see that fifth quarterback lasting a little bit longer than people think.
Really? Okay. Is there any chance we get a sixth quarterback in the first round?
There's always a chance, but I doubt it, because if you're the two teams that will be left with no quarterback, I think, are likely to be Washington and Chicago, right? And they pick in the 20s. That would be really, really rich for one of the remaining or one of the next tier of quarterbacks. And also, you know, if you're a team like Chicago, you've already kind of become a little bit of a laughing stock in terms of Andy Dalton being the solution at quarterback.
Yeah.
If you compounded that by like drafting, you know, a Kyle Trask in the first round or a Davis Mills from Stanford, I'd find it really hard to believe that they could take that kind of abuse, I think, that they would get for doing that. So I doubt one of those guys sneaks into the first, but I could see the sort of rebirth of the second round quarterback and a few teams grab one of these guys in the second round.
Yeah, makes some sense. Chase is going to be the first wide receiver off the board, correct?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I love Devontae Smith, and I have basically through this entire process, and actually before when I was looking at, you know, Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs tape, Devontae Smith was the guy that was the most impressive receiver on the field for Alabama when they had four first-round wide receivers. And I think he'll be a fantastic receiver. And if you were just analyzing their play, I think you could probably say that Devontae Smith is the best receiver. But you can't overlook the fact that the guy weighed in at 166 pounds. Mm-hmm. And Ja'Marr Chase didn't. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It's not that Devontae Smith can't be good and that he can't be great, but if he is, it would be a huge outlier. And because it's so close between him and Chase, I think that just becomes a tiebreaker. And you take the safer bet that is Ja'Marr Chase, knowing that there's a pretty good chance that Devontae Smith will be just as good, if not better. It's just a riskier proposition.
Okay, so then based on what you just said, I'm assuming that you have Smith definitely going ahead of Waddle?
I certainly think that Smith is a much better receiver than Waddle. I'm not 100% confident that the NFL thinks the same thing,
okay,
based only off the fact that we just saw Henry Ruggs be taken ahead of CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy when that was equal madness a year ago. So, look, I think people generally are getting a little bit out of control when it comes to Jalen Waddle and projecting, you know, Tyreek Hill 2.0. And I think anytime you're chasing unicorns like that, it's just a bad process. I think Jalen Waddle is a fantastic athlete. I think he was better than Henry Ruggs a year ago. But I think we're doing a lot of projection when it comes to Waddle, whereas you don't need to do that for Devontae Smith. Like, it's already there, obvious on tape. You don't need to project the same way you do with Waddle.
Sure. So we've talked about some of the wild cards in the first round, top 10. There are plenty of them, Sam. Another one. What do you think happens at 7 with the Lions if they keep the pick?
The Lions are the biggest wild card in this whole thing to me because they could do literally anything. They're not out of the quarterback market. They could take a quarterback because Jared Goff is the one they had, and he was, you know, a make weight in that trade. Their defense is in ribbons. Their offense is in ribbons. They have no wide receivers. They could go literally anywhere. And of course, the other thing playing in their favor or sort of making this even tougher is that the new regime has got, you know, endless amounts of time. They all got handed those monster contracts, so they don't have to do things right away. I honestly think the Lions, they're just such a complete gamble. That's where the first grenade gets thrown into this draft, in my opinion, because I don't see how anybody sitting below Detroit can realistically have a good handle on what they're going to do.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Is there a player that you think drops big time that we haven't discussed yet? Or somebody who, you know, you see other people maybe talking late first round, early second, but you are much higher on them than other people are?
The second category, I kind of love Asante Samuel Jr., cornerback out of Florida State. And look, I'm torn on this a little bit because there's a good percentage of that is because we all witnessed his dad's career, you know, 10 years ago. And it's lazy analysis to just compare him to his dad and say, well, one guy did it, so the other guy's going to do it. But they are freakish clones of each other in terms of how they play the game. It's actually ridiculous. Like, Asante Samuel Jr. basically is Asante Samuel Sr. And we saw how this game plays out already. Asante Samuel Sr. is one of the best ball-hawking cornerbacks the game has seen in the last 20 years. And even though he's not blazing fast and he's only 5'10" and he's only 180 pounds, he had the extra steps, whether it was in his head for reading the play design and understanding route concepts, whether it was his first step, just that initial acceleration, he was always able to break on the ball faster than the receiver and the quarterback could get it there. And you see the same traits with his son. And I just think that's going to translate. And even though, you know, the world is caught up in these sort of 6'1", 210-pound long cornerbacks that are physical, guys like J.C. Horn, it really wouldn't shock me at all if Asante Samuel Jr. was the better NFL player.
You know, it's funny. It worked out last year, right? Winfield from Minnesota goes second round to Tampa Bay. His dad was amazing, and he came in, and his rookie season was phenomenal last year for the Buccaneers.
Yeah, and again, like, they play different positions, but they play the game the same way, which I think there is something to that. You know, if you've seen Antoine Winfield Sr. and then you see his son, and they both remind you of each other, even if one's playing safety and the other's playing corner in the slot, they're both sort of physical tone setters. They both figure out a way of scheming around the fact that they're an undersized player. I think because you've seen that play out before, you should have a degree of confidence that it can happen again. And that's kind of where I am with Asante Samuel.
You can follow Sam on Twitter. He is at @PFF_Sam. And definitely check out Pro Football Focus. Sam, you guys do an incredible job at the website. Thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
Yep. Take care.
Great job. Excellent. Great point, too, about the Lions. They can go in any direction.
Called them the biggest wild card in the entire draft.
Yep. What could they do? And how many trades could we see? Ooh. Yeah, we got another email on this, too. I know you want them to do this, but, you know, I don't know. I doubt it happened. Not going to happen, but what if the Niners go Pitts? And then
that offense would be completely scary.
It's not the only guy ruling out Atlanta at 4 now, too, with a quarterback. Lombardi saying the same thing.
I guess Jerry Jones had a Zoom meeting with Kyle Pitts, and he told him how much he likes him.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, man, you would look so good in a Cowboys uniform playing with Dak Prescott.
Well, do it. Go get it.
Make the move?
Go get it. Yes. Come on.
I mean, if there's a
What is it? Is it three playoff wins since Switzer or something absurd? Come on. Two playoff wins since Switzer?
Yeah. In that range.
Why not?
If there's a team and an owner in the league that would actually do something like this, right, it would probably be him.
Well, the problem is you have McCarthy. Like a chimp with a machine gun.
Yeah.
I mean, what's he going to do? Sledgehammers and watermelons and, you know, I'm running a fake punt from my own 20.
I mean, players are like laughing at him.
Yes.
They're disgusted.
The adjustments.
The meetings, everything like this.
I can't wait for this. I can't wait. This is getting good.
How many bets do you have?
At that? 4 or 5. Not like you. But that's the quarterback stuff. You got that stuff early, though, too, with that William Hill 8-1 and first four picks quarterbacks. And I got the wide receiver prop. Quarterback's over.
I'll tell you what, though. Definitely missed out on some of the position props here at Circa. Yeah. I didn't know when they were going to drop them. And then
50 spot moves.
I don't know I don't think I would have bet Mills. I definitely would have bet Kellen Mond under. Like 170 where he opened up, 155. I would have bet that under for sure.
I'm convinced Sewell goes fifth. It's going to be Sewell.
Yeah. Good feedback on the program. We'll get to some of the emails and tweets on the show coming up next.
New to the game.
Sports bettors, are you ready? Download the PointsBet app now. Sign up using promo code VSIN2K. Get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. When you bet with PointsBet, you get faster bets, withdrawals, and fast rewards at your fingertips. Download the app now to experience this premium book for yourself. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. That is a great promotion. This was one of the best emails we've ever received. No surprise it came from Frank B. Frank B., it's so good we're going to have to get him on the air and talk about it. But Frank B. Responded about dice control. And he personally had over 40,000 recorded rolls in a properly recreated casino environment. The rolls were continuously analyzed and updated by a sophisticated custom-made computer program. He also wrote, some of the mistakes casinos make don't attribute the degree of success to they contribute it to skillful shooting when there is success, which is a huge mistake, Frank writes, saying, I was eventually backed off from a good number of casinos, half of them completely unwarded. Good runs happen, he said. And he's right about that.
Sure.
It's good. But Frank is unbelievable email. So good. But just saying, I tried this over and over and over again in a casino environment.
Three guys.
Yeah.
An entire year.
Yes.
That are super sharp gamblers.
Frank B. the man or what? How good is that?
What a life.
Yep.
Good for him.
Now, this came in. This came in yesterday, and the responses were good as well. But I know Mike Palm alluded to this on Wednesday. Guys sent in a tweet. 20 years in the casino business, starting as a dealer and ending as a pit boss. I can tell you with 100% certainty that any roulette dealer worth their salt can put the ball within a couple spots either side of the target number 80% of the time. And the responses were great, too. And, well, what we do is we either get a dealer now or a guy who used to be a dealer, and we just, whether you want to wear a mask or whatever, we just say, okay, go at it. Here we go. See, put it where you want.
This should be live on the show.
See,
right?
Yeah.
Where we have a dealer. Maybe there's somebody here at Circa. I don't know, whatever they allow us to do.
I don't know what, you're right.
Take a camera out on the floor. That would be awesome. That would be great television.
I mean, are they ready for us? We've been wanting to do stuff like this since October. I mean, is Circa ready? Is VSiN ready? We want to gamble on air. We want to do this on air. We want to talk to a host. We want to talk to the girls who work at the pool. I mean, let's go here.
For those of you who don't know about this, last year we had a guy named Houston Curtis who wrote a book. He came on with us many, many times.
Mechanic, card trick guy.
Sure. And his book is on the Hollywood Underground game. What was it, $1 billion Hollywood Heist or whatever it was called? Playing poker. Molly's Game, the movie, the book. This was his version of it, though. And he was doing those tricks on the air with us last summer. It was fantastic. The card tricks.
Yep.
The if a roulette dealer, I don't know. I mean, so this person said, or this person on Twitter claims any dealer worth their salt can get it within a couple of spots.
Yeah.
Section again.
Right. It was like
within
the email.
A section, yeah.
It was like the email a couple days ago where the guy has a big bet on the roulette wheel and the pit boss walks by the dealer and says, keep it out of his section. He heard him.
Heard him.
Took him to court and he said the guy testified under oath that he goes, yeah, I can put it where I want. I mean, this is a lot. I love this stuff. And we're going to have a guest. He's coming on. Is he coming on Monday? Richard Munchkin, professional bettor, is coming on. He says this is true. Curtis says no. Munchkin says absolutely it's true.
I think he's going to be on Tuesday.
Tuesday. He would know.
Yeah.
He's going to say the exact opposite of Curtis.
A couple of other emails. FTM@vsin.com from Lucas. What if the 49ers surprised everyone and drafted Pitts at number 3? Welcome to the club, Lucas. I think it would be a great pick. That would just shock the world on Thursday night, and I'd be all for it. As Lucas writes, no shot there's a defense that can match up with him and Kittle, and Jimmy G is good enough to get it to them. Jimmy G, see, that's the thing. Jimmy G is absolutely good enough.
Yes.
If they get everybody back and they're healthy.
He's getting a bad rap.
I would agree.
He had a couple of poor games, but they were 10 minutes away from winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing. You would trust Shanahan and even they can go out and get a veteran quarterback after Garoppolo or something like that.
Yeah. And this is from Jason in Miami. Heard about this news, obviously, last night as well, or this week. My days get all jumbled up. But about, you know, sports betting now, getting passed in Florida the way it appears. It needs to be approved by legislature. But he points out it should be a formality at this point. He predicts Florida's going to blow Nevada and New Jersey out of the water with handle. I think Florida, after like a year or two, automatically goes to the top of the list. That's what I'm saying. With that population, those major cities, how much people like to gamble anywhere, but certainly in that state as well. I mean, I think Florida will go right there, very top of the list. It won't take long.
Highlight.
They should probably have Highlight on the betting board. Let's follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Tonight's NBA betting card coming up next. They've won 10 out of 11, and they are 18-5 since the All-Star break. Tough test tonight, though.
Thanks for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boost, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, a $250 match bonus, fast payouts, one-time playthrough. BetRivers, your hometown book, valid in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. PlaySugarHouse.com in Jersey. Not valid in Iowa. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Updated numbers at Bet Rivers. Carolina to win the division now 3.35. You can still get the Bruins at 3-1 at Bet Rivers. Maple Leafs back up to $5. Avalanche minus 250. In the NBA, the Sixers are minus 360, and it's a 1-14 favorite now with the Mavs to win their division. DraftKings Defensive Player of the Year, Gobert minus 330. Sixth Man of the Year, Clarkson minus 670. Randall's $5, most improved. Rookie of the Year, Ball is $3. Edwards is 2-1 now. Jokic, 360.
That is not over with, by the way.
Win the MVP. What's that? Rookie of the Year?
The Rookie of the Year is not over with.
No, it's going to come down to, it's a good race.
How LaMelo, because Edwards is really, he's had some really, really good games as of late.
Right. And they do not have Coach of the Year up yet.
Mm.
They took that down, but I am even more adamant on this, and the lowest we saw it was down to 4-1 the other day. Knicks have won 8 in a row. The Knicks win total was 22.5.
You know what this reminds me
of? Let's stop this.
Paul, you know, Thibodeau reminds me of a couple of years ago when we could not believe the betting market for the MVP when James Harden was like $7, right? He was on that amazing stretch scoring all those games like above 30 points in a row. And we were telling people on the air, doesn't make sense. I had like five or six tickets on Freak that year to win the MVP. I kept betting him at plus money. Like, this, it's a wrong market. The numbers are backwards here. Freak needs to be favored. And we scooped all those tickets and won because he eventually won the MVP.
Yep.
And it was the right call. I feel the same way against Thibodeau.
Yep.
I really do. They've been wrong. The numbers have been wrong on this guy for months now, plural.
it's a good story with Phoenix, but they're going to benefit because the Clippers are so much into load management and LeBron and AD got hurt.
Right.
So what really does getting the one seed mean in the West? That is lazy and that is silly to say, I'm just going to give the coach of the year to whoever gets the one seed in the West. They are...
Totally concur.
The Knicks are 33-27. They are the four seed. They've won eight in a row. Stop the insanity. Shut it down. It's over. He's got to win it. The win total was 22.5.
I'm very confident. Put it that way.
Oh, here it is. This is another spot. Well, this is the weird thing. You know, different. You got different... No matter... Depending on where you are, there's more stuff available. Is that the right way to say it?
Yeah, okay.
On the app?
Yeah.
Right. We've encountered this.
Depends on which state you live in.
Right. There you go. Thank you.
Apps might be different for different states.
Because I don't have it. I didn't have it on what I'm looking at now. But DraftKings has Tibbs 5-1. Quinn Snyder's $1.50. Monty's even money. Doc Rivers. Come on.
No. He's not winning the award. Done a fine job. Doc has done a really good job this year.
Well, let's be honest. He's one of the worst playoff coaches in any sport ever.
Yeah.
Blown. How many 3-1 leads has he blown? So Tibbs is currently 5-1. I can't believe the price. Thank you, Ian, sending that in. I can't believe it.
He's still 5-1.
Yes. He might win 40 games. He'll be the four seed.
It's a remarkable story. And don't forget, again, it's the Knicks we're talking about here. The Knicks, that's kind of a big deal. And voters will absolutely have that in mind.
Right.
BetMGM, Mavericks are minus $6. What do you say they are?
That's all it is?
1-14?
1-14 at Bet Rivers.
And the Suns are minus 130. Clippers are even.
I got $1.60.
Okay.
Clippers are going to win the division, but it's going to be close. And they'll win tonight. They're laying 11.5 against the Rockets.
Yeah. I screwed that up, by the way. I wrote it down wrong. I had them playing the Nets tonight. Sorry about that. It's not a tough contest for the Clippers. The question is, are they going to cover 11.5 on the road against Houston? That's the current number. But it's a good, you know, I mean, right now, BetMGM, Heat and Hawks, each $1.10 to win that division.
Huge game tonight. Hawks are, Heat open 5 at DraftKings on the road against Atlanta. Huge game. I just think it's too much. I don't care who's out. And the Celtics and Nets now. Good job by the Celtics last night. Now they're on the road, and they're catching 4.5 against the Nets. And I think, and this is just wild how things have changed here. Speaking of the standings, Washington is now they're 8 games under 500. But still, they've won 8 of 10. They are now the 10 seed, trying to get in this play-in business. And they are a 9-point road favorite against OKC. They opened up a 10-point home favorite the other night. They're playing great ball.
I would need 14 or 15 to bet OKC. I'm not betting this team.
They have lost, 11 in a row? What are we at now? 12? 12 in a row? Oh, and just a horror show, ATS. Got the money in a couple. They hung in there against Indiana, but it's, remember, there was the double-digit loss streak, too. But 9 on the road.
I got to get the player props for Westbrook because he's been on a tear.
Yeah. See what Curry is, too. And the two late games are intriguing. Grizzlies and Blazers. Big game out west. Should be a track meet.
Oh, man.
Memphis. Where's Memphis now? They're the 8. So they're 2.5 back of Dallas now. And that's why you're seeing as high as 1-14. Number one, Dallas. Boy, did they blow this. They can't go over 43 wins. Give me a break. So many bad losses. Portland is tied with Dallas. Hey, there you go, Dallas, right? You're tied for the 6. To play, win some games. Mm-hmm. And then Memphis is one game over 500. Bad loss, tough loss the other night against Denver. But that's a good game. Blazers 2.5. I would lean Memphis there, actually. And I want to watch this tonight. Denver's laying 3 against Golden State on the road. Golden State is the 10, a game under 500. They should be good. They're 3 up over New Orleans for the 10 to get in the play-in spot. But Kerr said they're running out of gas.
Said it on the air yesterday.
Yeah.
Let me give you some player props for tonight. How about Westbrook? He's been on fire over the last month, basically. His points, rebounds, assist prop is 48.5 tonight. Westbrook's rebound prop is 13.5 over his plus $1.05.
Man.
13.5. But he's been going over. Didn't he have like 17 again the other night? And his assist number tonight.
Look at this.
Is 12.5. Where'd it go?
Ran out Orlando. Won at Golden State. Lost at Phoenix. They won at Utah. Beat Sacramento by double digits. Beat New Orleans. Beat Detroit. Beat OKC. Beat Golden State again. OKC, Cleveland, San Antonio, Lakers, Cleveland coming up for them. They're going to do this. And it's not a tough schedule and that difficult in May either. What a turnaround.
So Curry's number tonight, it's taken a little bit of a dip since he didn't go bonkers against the Wizards. His total tonight is 32.5 against the Nuggets. His three-pointers made prop is now 5.5. Over is plus 115. It was 6.5 the other night. But the streak kind of came to an end there.
Good. Everyone listen to us, too, on the Suns and on Tibbs. So, good.
Yeah.
Eventually, if this keeps happening, the buyout offer should come in on Tibbs. 40-1. Like, yep. 25-1 for most of the year.
For a lot of the year. Oh, until, like, last week, it was 25-1. Just keep pounding away.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. Today's Major League Baseball card is coming up next. He shipped off a poor opening day start by throwing three gems in a row. And he faces a guy tonight who was brilliant over the weekend. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Download the app. Use the promo code VSIN when you sign up to compete for cash prizes each and every week. Don't wait. Sign up now. And new customers get a deposit bonus of up to $500. That's code VSIN when you sign up. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, that number is 1-800-9-WITH-IT. You must be 18 years or older. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com. Four details. Nice win for the Padres last night. 3-2 winners, taking game one of this four-game set with the Dodgers at Chavez Ravine in Los Angeles. They go at it again tonight. I kind of want to plan my whole weekend around this series.
Good one.
It's great. And
good
so
one. Can I mention something real quick?
Okay, yeah.
Lance just cashed out last night 10-1 on the Suns he was offered.
He did.
He took that before they got beat by the
Celtics.
Yeah, that's what he says. It's good.
Okay.
Like, how about some Sean Harness numbers on this? Did you see this? Last 45 innings, the Dodgers are 3-for-26, runners in scoring position. The first five under is perfect in head-to-head. Kershaw has an ERA under 2 in the 40 starts against San Diego.
Under 2 in 40 starts.
And he's got an 18-inning pitch scoreless streak right now. What he has going. What a matchup today.
He has been one of the best pitchers in the National League this year.
Mm-hmm. They are scuffling offensively. I mean, I know guys are out, but that, you know.
Well, and think about this. When they just face each other over the weekend, Darvish was great. He allowed one hit, struck out 9, and the Dodgers still beat the Padres that night. And the opener here at Circa was minus 140 for Kershaw and company. Total was 7. Dodgers lifetime against Darvish, no good. Only 43 plate appearances, but an 0.73 batting average. Padres versus Kershaw in all of those starts, Paulie. 218, 263, 339 with the slash, 4 home runs, 2 of those by Machado, but 33 strikeouts and 134 plate appearances. Not bad for Kershaw to correct it after his opening day disaster against Colorado.
Yep.
Like 3 gems in a row today going into today. Do you like anything in this game?
No, just the first 500. Small lean. But again, when you're talking about a number that short, but that's. To me, it's first 500. I do like Glasnow. Now, Mats has been solid for Toronto.
Yep.
But they have won 7 of the last 8 home starts by Tyler, and he has got an ERA of 0.73 and a 36-7 strikeout-to-walk ratio with a 0.65 whip. He's been dialed in, and he's been great.
Yep.
And I the other time I had him, they blew a 3-1 lead for him in the bottom of the 8th in Boston. So...
That's right.
I know what he's going to give me tonight. Plus, I like the fact that they win his home starts as well.
He is not allowed a home run on the season. His whip is .648, best in the American League. Now, the Rays versus lefties this year only hitting .232, but a lot of teams are struggling offensively in a lot of categories.
Yeah. If you want to lay the $3, good luck. Be my guest. Mets have lost 4 of the last 5 starts by DeGrom. Cleveland is 1-6, last 7 is a home dog. Hendricks, what about the Cubbies? Cubbies won 4 in a row against lefties. Anderson is hideous on the road, but Hendricks has been rough. That could be an over.
Mm-hmm.
It should be an over tonight in that Cub game, right? I would think that goes over.
Well, where's the wind blowing?
Yeah.
Always a big, big issue between.
And the A's have won 11 in a row. What a story. Irvin's $1.30 against Lopez as well. Some trends and streaks. 15-3-1 to the under, first five for the Giants on the season. The Yankees have not scored first in 11 of the last 13. Cardinals haven't scored first in 10 of the last 12. Padres have played six straight unders. Boston to score first, no, is on an 8-1 run. A couple things to consider.
Okay, so at first I told myself last night I was going to be betting Kikuchi again today with the Mariners on the road against the Red Sox. He opened up plus 119 at Circa. Perez opened up 130, total of 9.5. But here's the deal in this game. The Red Sox, current lineup, they've hit Kikuchi well. It's only 19 plate appearances. I get it. Two home runs, very small sample size. But the Red Sox are one of the better hitting teams against left-handed pitching this year. Jot this one down. Kyle Seager career versus Perez. 18 of 55 with four home runs. So he's done really well against Perez. But here's the deal with Perez from MLB.com. Spent his first seven major league seasons with the Rangers. Perez has faced the Mariners 121 innings, more than any current team. He is 8-5 with a 3.42 ERA career against Seattle. Six starts since 2018. And the M's versus lefties this year, a 175 batting average, second lowest in baseball. So small sample sizes here. I get it. But I don't think I'm going to be betting Kikuchi today at that plus number. Here are a couple of favorites.
Cubs totals 9.5.
You see 9.5?
Yeah.
Okay.
DraftKings, yep.
A couple of favorites that I like today, and it scares the bejesus out of me. I like Sonny Gray on the road. It opened up at 115. I think I got a little bit higher than that last night. I have not bet this yet because I'm a little afraid. Yeah. I like...
You see these Giants totals now? 7.5?
Well, and by the way, I didn't even have the streak in mind
right
when I was looking at stuff last night, and I wrote down Marlins Giants first five under if it's four.
Okay.
It's Alcantara versus Wood. If it's four, to be honest, I haven't seen a number on it yet for the first five. It very well could be 3.5. But if it's four, I would like the under there. And I like the Royals as a small favorite today on the road against the Tigers. Have not bet it yet. I want to see what happens with the number. And I also like Marquez first five against Velasquez is horrendous. Mm. And he's got to make a start today for the Phillies. He's coming out of the bullpen. And I think Rocky should get some runs off of him. Marquez at home is not the worst guy to have on the mound today for the Rockies. So a couple of spots today that I would look at, you know, laying some short numbers. He opened up $1.33, by the way, Marquez. I saw as low as $1.20 earlier this morning. And I did bet the Pirates.
Let me come on. I got to get up. Come on. Come on. 9-10? How about the guts on this team?
Sure.
Their win total was 58.5. They were priced like an expansion team.
Mm-hmm.
What a job. What a start for the Pirates. 9-10 on the season.
They have to be one of the highest ROI teams in baseball.
Yeah, I would. This is a great story.
Despite being a game under.
Good job by the Pirates.
What scares me here is this. The Twins have been awful. And now they go back home. It's Brubaker versus Happ. Brubaker coming off of six innings, one run ball against the Brewers. ERA is 1.76 through 15 and change this year.
Yep.
Batters are only hitting 196 against him. But it's Happ, this Twins team. And it actually went up.
They've lost 9-10.
Yeah.
My God.
I got $1.40 today.
Yeah. Good luck. Not with my money. No way. What a start to the season. Yankees last place. Royals first place. Twins last place. Astros last place. A's first place. 11 in a row. Started 0-6.
Mm-hmm.
Mets first place. 500. Tied with the Phillies. Cardinals last place. I'll tell you, Arizona's hanging in there too, 9-10.
Yeah.
It's just, again, it's baseball. You're going to win 60-something on accident.
Sure you are. The Angels playing the Astros today. Greinke opened up $1.26. Mm-hmm. Haney on the flip side, plus 115.
No opinion.
Gurriel versus Haney, 5 of 17, two home runs. Not much from anybody else in the current lineup for the Astros. But Upton has done exceedingly well against Greinke, 12 of 39 with three home runs. The problem overall is that... Houston is the third best hitting team against lefties so far in 2021. And Greinke has had three quality starts in four outings. WHIP is 1.01. Had eight scoreless against Seattle on Saturday. Although his one bad start was at home when he gave up six runs and 10 hits in 4 2/3 back on April 12th.
Who wins that division?
Oh, God.
The West.
I've been saying the Angels, but...
You want the update? This is interesting. William Hill. A's plus 170. Astros and Angels 2-1. Mariners are in first place. They're 15-1.
I can't imagine the Mariners are going to do this for 162 games.
Yes.
Jot me down as being shocked if that happens. I'm not surprised the A's came back after that 0-6 start. They're too good. They have too many good young players on that team.
Yankees $1.30 to win the division. Last place. Good. You get the White Sox even money to win the Central.
At what point do you hop in on the Yankees?
I'm not hopping in anytime soon.
No, neither am I.
No way.
No.
Not till all these guys come back in like July and then the guys in the bullpen and all that other business. Mm-hmm. And I think we missed one. Remember after the hot start, you could get the Dodgers. The Dodgers were like $3.50 to win the division. It's $7 now.
Seven.
I mean, it's with the Padres struggles too.
Well, keep in mind that you can still parlay this stuff.
Well, right, yes.
You can parlay divisions, which I love doing, actually. I'm a big fan of doing that. What else do we have today? Well, a little bit more on the Nationals-Mets game. Betty, career against the current Mets team, guys in the lineup, their slash is .265, .345, .367, one home run, 55 plate appearances. Against DeGrom, and this is a larger sample size because he's been in this division for so long now against the Nationals, but they're okay against DeGrom. 59 Ks in their career, but Zimmerman and Stevenson with two home runs each. He does own Trey Turner, who, he's 11 of 41. I shouldn't say own, but he struck out Turner 14 times. And Fetty had a career-high 9 strikeouts on Saturday against the Diamondbacks. The Nationals, a 24% K rate against right-handed pitching. And DeGrom was just, after the first couple of innings last week at Coors, when he settled in, they couldn't touch him.
Yep. I got updated ROI numbers, courtesy of Covers.com. Okay. Winnipeg, this is hockey, Winnipeg and Carolina, 1-2. Worst, Buffalo and Columbus, neck and neck for worst. And Columbus has lost 15-17. I mean, think about that. You're in Buffalo territory.
Yeah.
How bad they've been. And the Devils are moving up, too, with their streak. How bad they've been.
Well, go back and look at like the box scores from the Devils games or the scoring. It's like 3-0, 4-0. The Penguins game got to 6-0 before they came back and somehow covered that puck line. The Devils did. But a lot of their games have been just taken out to the woodshed. And we'll see you in 3 hours.
Seattle number one in ROI in baseball. Giants number two. A's number three. Do I have enough time to bring up the bottom? Do I have it? Yankees are the worst. Twins. Rockies. Top, bottom, ROI in Major League Baseball.
Quick recap of what took place last night. From a betting perspective, next year, follow the money.